Right, good morning, everybody. Today is Friday. Yeah, it's Friday, April 1st. Happy April Fool's Day, 2016. And this is Before the First Cup of Jewels here on UCY.TV. Happy Friday, everybody. It is 57 degrees and partly clouded here in upstate New York. It's kind of warm, actually. Came out to the office this morning and all these computers cranking kind of made it a little bit bakey in here, so feels like summer in the office. Where do we leave off on yesterday? We titled the show 21st Century Tech Resistant Consumers, Luddites Unite. And that's about where I'm at right now. We discussed all kinds of different things. I don't know. I'm half brain dead. Kids are on vacation this week. It's been a really long week. But I'm almost to the end. It's Friday. I don't know. We talked about, I remember mentioning the Amish. And I don't know. I totally don't remember what I talked about. We did talk about the Microsoft HoloLens. And, of course, we have Zuckerberg, who's bringing out the VR goggles, this whole immersion technology, augmented reality or virtual reality. Remember, we read there's two different kinds. One, you're fully immersed. One, it is an overlay to the existing world that you live in. And we listened to Ray Kurzweil recount how wonderful it's going to be sucked into the machines. He's been working on this since he was 6 years old. And he's about ready to launch it all on the unsuspecting. So to continue on some of the same veins that we were on this week, there was a story that came out of phys.org yesterday titled Augmented Reality Mapping Out Tech's Next Mind-Bending Trip. And it mentioned yesterday when we first were talking about the Microsoft HoloLens goggles, which are augmented versus virtual, that we would discuss a little bit more of the differences today. So here we go. Virtual reality is a trip, but an even wilder ride could be around the corner as mind-bending startups and technology trendsetters try to emblazon the world with interactive holograms that enlighten, entertain, and empower us. And remember, we talked about these HoloLens goggles quite a ways back. And there had been a demonstration with some engineers. I don't know, they were working on an engine creation or something. And all the engineers were in different offices in different parts of the country. Yet they were all standing in a virtual conference room with their HoloLens goggles on with a 3D touchable, manipulatable representation of the engine that they were designing floating in the air, and they could poke and prod and zoom, big to small, add some details as if it were real. And PigMind had a video back a few months ago that it showed Japanese researchers creating physically touchable holograms. I don't even know how that's possible or how you could even feel any texture or anything, but like that's borderlining on like the Star Trek holodeck at this point. And you know, when you start looking down that path, I just had someone send me this morning some news story about the lunatic creating who was it? Scarlett Johansson robot. And of course, as you're looking at the page with the story about the Scarlett Johansson robot, all the recommended stories around it are about all the coming of the sex bots. You know, that's another big dangling carrot. And there are so many techs out there throughout the years who are just so dedicated to their craft. And no real pretty girl ever looked twice at them. And the coming of the sex bots was something that they've all dreamed about. I just see this as a dangerous, slippery slope that we're approaching here. Because, you know, when we looked earlier in the week at addiction and that dopamine push button and all the different ways that they can manipulate and control you, and don't think that they aren't. And the one thing that the psychopath does well, and I think we fully established that this ruling class is a large group of psychopaths. But the one thing that the psychopaths really, really enjoy doing is manipulating. And they've manipulated us. I mean, it's almost checkmate time at this point because we're just so easy to manipulate. You know, sex bots, Pied Piper, do 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 do, happy elephant song as they all go marching down the path to go sign up. And you know what? To get your free sex bot, we're going to need a DNA sample or two. Your fingerprint, your eye scan. I just see, you know, I don't know. I just see that this is people are being distracted by, I don't even remember the word. It's early, guys. Oh, you're being tempted. It's temptation. And I'm no religious lunatic at all, but I'm telling you, it's temptation. You need to learn to control those impulses. You know, it's hard when you're not used to it. Once you get used to it, it's pretty easy. But shake all those impulses that make you weak and that make you soft for an underbelly attack. You harden them. And then you direct them like a laser beam. And there's a lot of those different things within our minds that we can use like that. Help you focus. I don't know, makes me mean when I need to be nice most of the time, but don't fall victim by allowing them to hand you a carrot. All right, there's no free carrots. I don't care if she's pretty like Scarlett Johansson. There's no free carrots. It's probably some sort of sperm collection device. You know, they'll probably be scanning you know, what you had for lunch yesterday in your bodily fluids. I don't know. It's disgusting. Anyway, let's go back here. Augmented reality map out of tech's next mind-bending trip. Virtual reality is a trip, but an even wilder ride could be around the corner. As mind-bending startups and technology trendsetters try to emblazon the world with interactive holograms that enlighten, entertain, and empower us. And her name is Nadine. We read about Nadine the other day. All right, the concept known as augmented reality looks like something out of a science fiction movie. Think of Tony Stark, a comic book character who scans information-filled holograms beamed in front of his Iron Man mask, or John Anderton, the character that Tom Cruise played while flipping through digital screens floating in the air at Minority Report. Interesting, they mentioned Minority Report. Yesterday, we had covered a story about behavioral patterns being able to be taken from your bodily movements and tell whether or not you're mentally ill. Or show signs of mental illness. And this is just going to be the next step. Being able to surveil you 24/7 and then apply algorithms to you. This is without using biosensors. This is just using some sort of computer vision to watch you move and add to that then how you talk and do your daily swabs and your smart toilets. You know, there won't be too many more secrets there. It hasn't yet advanced as far as virtual reality, but it is getting attention with this week's release of the much-hyped Oculus Rift headset from Facebook. And yeah, you know, and again, like, I still question putting these things up around your head. Remember, we said that way back when we were looking at that Google Glass and we found out that they could literally zap. Right around the ear, right on the temple, the vagus nerve, that electro, whatever they were calling it, transcranial electroshock therapy. I just saw a story yesterday and I didn't post it because there weren't a lot of references, but I don't doubt it at all. And of course, it's like when the research starts coming out of a place like Kazakhstan, you know, nothing against Kazakhstan, but anytime I see some sort of former Soviet bloc as the center of the research, and then there's no provided links to give me the background to the story or the actual research, I tend to go, nah. But one of the things that they had said is that they were doing research in Kazakhstan showing that electroshock therapy, and we've been seeing a lot of this lately. Again, this is all this DARPA research, shocking the brain and using sound waves and whatever. But they had found in the study, and if I find more evidence of this study in one of my science journals, because I haven't seen it in there, and that's what I thought was odd, I'll post it. But it had said that with this electroshock brain therapy, it had caused dyslexic readers to be able to read faster. And of course, I got a sarcastic laugh out of that because anybody's going to do anything faster if you're electrocuting them. Go faster. You know, come on. But, you know, if it starts flipping the letters back around or whatever, I don't know. And like I said, it was unsubstantiated. There was no proof behind it, so we didn't post it. But it'll be interesting to see. You know, there's a lot of that brain zapping, and it's all about the brain. There's just so much news about the brain lately. They want in. They want to understand how that gray matter works, and that's the reason why I think they're still keeping us around. Because you know what? Even if robots could do our jobs, I'm going to take a look at the robots again today. The robots don't have gray matter yet. They don't fully understand how it works or how it connects or how we think. They're working on it. They're trying to model a human electronic brain, but they haven't done it yet. So for now, they need us for our gray matter to study like lab rats. Anyway, back to this. Augmented reality is a potential to touch far more people than virtual reality with the much-hyped Oculus Rift. So I hope you played the wrong pony there, Zuckerberg. Because augmented reality is designed as a seamless supplement to everyday living instead of an escape into the artificial dimensions conjured by VR, which so far revolves around video games and 360-degree video clips, right? And Pornhub's free VR porn. And I do tend to agree here. Like I was talking when we were first talking about the Oculus Rift headsets and this Pornhub, you know, any unsuspecting person out in public could have some creepy guy sitting next to them in the 3D VR Pornhub with their Oculus Rift goggles on in the subway, and you wouldn't know about it. I mean, I don't know. Do that in the privacy of your own home. I don't want to see you. I don't think you should be doing that, pushing those dopamine buttons 24/7 anyway. But augmented reality allows an overlay to the world. So like I was saying, when you'd be in your car in the future, your self-driving car, and you'd get in and it would say, "Hello, Jewel. Good morning. The temperature is 57 degrees and partly cloudy. You have 6 emails in your one mailbox, 237 in your other. 7 people waiting for you to return Skype messages," which is, I mean, you guys don't even know. I'm so underwater, especially this week, just because it's been 24/7 tour guide. And all the maple trees are budding, which means my allergies are in high gear. It's made it really rough. But, you know, it's going to be overlaid on top of your world today. So you don't disappear. It's not as bad as virtual reality, like full-blown Matrix, suck you in. You don't know any different. You don't see the world around you. Augmented, it's kind of what we looked at way back when SLC Mike sent us that TED Talk on augmented cognition. And see, this is where, I think it both go hand in hand, but this is where They don't want to pull the trigger too fast and get people afraid. They don't want to alienate everybody. The non-gamers, the non-sex botters aren't really going to be, and the non-techs aren't really going to be too excited about Oculus Rift. I told you there's lots of things going on at the consumer level for broadcasting on television and being able to sell like a pay-per-view like we have now, but doing it in VR so you can have front row seats to everything. I mean, that does sound pretty cool. If you could have front row to a concert, not have to be at that concert, but sure as hell feel like and sound like you're at that concert. I don't know, when I was young it was fun, but it's really not fun anymore when I'm almost 50. You know, going to a show, it's really loud and I gotta pee. Oh my God, there's a big crowd. You know, if I was sitting in the comfort of my own home, on my couch, had my own non-GMO popcorn, and I could be sitting watching the Rolling Stones in Cuba, it might be kind of fun. I wonder if I could even pause, fast forward, zoom in. But with augmented reality is where I could see a lot of business use. And that's why I think Microsoft was a little smarter in that. Microsoft said, hey, you know, we could do more with less. And we can make all these people collaborate really easily across the stars, across the oceans. And we could see a much broader acceptance for this. Now, don't think we're not going to suck everyone into the machine. We just got to suck them into the machine more slowly. And if they can still see the real world behind the artificial world, it might make the transition much simpler. And I think it's quite ingenious. Anyway, augmented reality and, you know, the future that then we saw, it was augmented cognition. That's what I was going to say. Where they physically have that digital assistant inside your head. And, you know, not only is Microsoft the one going after this augmented reality, but they are the ones that are putting out the open source chatbot code. They're the ones that are locking down on the operating system to completely exclude any of the other vendors. I just saw they bought the parent company to Ubuntu Linux yesterday. And then turned around and announced they are shutting it down completely. And they are now going to integrate Ubuntu Linux into the Windows platform in some sort of emulation or back end. So again, it'll all have to be part of the Windows 10 surveillance framework. It's frightening. Microsoft is making a power play right now. And remember, they're already working on the deep learning AI. We looked at that last week or the week before. Microsoft's been really quiet. And they have the Cyber Patrol Center, where they work together with all law enforcement agencies across the globe. Microsoft is the big bad evil. And remember who stepped back up to be an aide to the management at Microsoft. Good old Bill Gates. Yeah, he popped back up. He said, I'll give you guys a hand. I don't know. My philanthropy's a little bit boring. How many genetically modified mosquitoes and vaccines? Poop making water toilet things? And I don't know, third world countries that we can save. How much of that can I do every day? I need to come back and be in the Empire of Evil. And he has. Well, this definitely is taking some long-term vision, but all their pieces are clicking together now. And they've already said, don't worry about it. We've been hurting a little bit, but we're coming back, and we're coming back strong. Well, they sure are. Hopefully Tay's not in charge. By augmented reality has the potential to touch far more people because it is designed as a seamless supplement to everyday living instead of an escape into the artificial dimension conjured by VR, which so far revolves around video games and 360-degree video clips and porn, like I said. Augmented reality is going to have a lot more practical applications simply because there are a lot more people out there who interact with things in the real world, says Greg Kipper, who studied the technology's potential in his book, Augmented Reality, an Emerging Technology Guide to AR. So there's VR and there's AR. With augmented reality, the three-dimensional holograms seen through the headset are meant to be helpful or amusing companions in the real world. And when you walk through a grocery aisle, you might see a list of ingredients for making an Italian dish appear on the virtual screen before your eyes. So, like, you would literally be walking around. So instead of looking like you have these big invisible bug eyes, well, they're not invisible, but the world around you is invisible when you have these big bug eyes on your head. The AR goggles, the augmented reality goggles, look like a motorcycle helmet just for your eyes. They're just little, you know, you got the thing over your forehead. It's kind of around the back of yours and around your forehead. And then you got the little visor over your eyeballs. So the screen must literally just be right on that piece of plexiglass or whatever that is. So you're seeing it like it would be an overlay, like you'd imagine on your windscreen of your future self-driving car. With augmented reality, the three-dimensional holograms seen through the headset are meant to be helpful or amusing companions in the real world. And when you walk through a grocery store aisle, you might see a list of ingredients for making an Italian dish appear on a virtual screen before your eyes. Or maybe an image of a solar system might start orbiting around you as you read an astronomy book. Don a VR headset, though, and your surroundings are blocked off. You are cast into a different world as a dinosaur charges through the jungle, or you're on the precipice of a 100-story skyscraper looking perilously at the street below. It has a lot in common with the amusement park ride, including the tendency to cause nausea or dizziness if you wear a VR headset too long. While startups like Meta, Magic Leap, and Aether have been making the most visible progress in augmented reality so far, technology heavyweights are now also eyeing it. Ding, ding, ding. In all honesty, Zuckerberg made some comment about, you know, this is the new future of computing. And honestly, I could see, you know, we already have our little mobile devices. Computers went from big monsters. I mean, if anybody remembers back in like the 80s, what a 30... I don't even know if it was 30 meg. It might have even been 30K back then. A hard drive that size was like the size of a brick. And now you got flash chips that, you know, are the size of your fingernail at gigs apiece. We have an entire computer and a little tiny cell phone. And we'll talk about it. And in the little nanobots that they want to put in your blood. You know, it isn't too much of a stretch to think that the future of computing before they start inserting the augmented reality chip right into our amblyongata is going to be some sort of little eye device. I mean, Google already announced that they have their internet contact lenses with the augmented reality right on it so you can blink and make the weather come up or whatever. So I don't think it's going to be too much longer. Microsoft has started shipping the AR goggles for $3,000, you call it the HoloLens, to a limited audience of computer programmers, while Alphabet's Google has been a key investor with this is interesting, I didn't know about this. Google has been a key investor with $1.3 billion into Magic Leap over the last 2 years. Apple also signaled its interest last year when it bought a startup called Metateo, spurring speculation that iPhone makers are exploring ways to infuse the project into its future products. Meta, a Silicon Valley startup with 100 employees, is scheduled to ship a second generation headset this summer. It is now being sold as part of a ding ding $949.99. It doesn't say 99, but it should. $949 kit tailored for programmers to design more three-dimensional interactive applications for the new headset. Price point coming down. Remember I told you sub-$1,000 PCs would set it all on fire. Now sub-$1,000 VR goggles or AR, whichever one these are coming. And by Christmas, it'll probably be like $499. Mark my word. That price point is what pushes it. And, you know, we already saw the McHappy McD goggles. McDonald's was putting out a Happy Meal box that could be turned into a little virtual reality creator. I don't know. It was a box. You folded it up and had these little lenses in it, and you slid your cell phone in there. And it turned into a set of VR goggles. Someone actually left a comment on that story about how putting the cell phone into the box and putting those goggles on your head would probably be pretty dangerous sitting against your forehead with all of the wireless radios inside. And yeah, I wouldn't be getting it too close to my head. But hey, bumping into walls, you know, if you're getting Happy Meals, probably not thinking about putting cell phones up next to your head anyway. Anyway, if Meta CEO Miron Gibbets realizes his vision, the company will spawn a new form of computing that will just be as revolutionary as the graphical interface that enabled personal computers to be controlled by the mouse and touchscreen technology that helped turn smartphones into indispensable utilities. He describes Meta technology as, quote, an extension of your mind because it is built on the principles of your mind. Instead of staring at display screens while pecking at clunky keyboards, Gibbets foresees navigating through an array of holographic screens suspended in front of your face and controlled with the touch of your hands, and virtual keyboards will appear for data entry. People will be able to reach into their holographic screen, pull out a drawing of the human anatomy, and remove the skeleton to study. Or they might be able to look inside of a shoe that they are thinking of buying. Phone calls would become obsolete as everyone in a conversation appears as holograms that can exchange data and documents. Virtual reality is cool, but it's just a stepping stone to augmented reality, says Gibbets, 30 years old, the CEO of its own company. We are going to build something that is 100 times easier to use than a Mac and 100 times more powerful. And if you work for Meta, look out, because Meta plans to use its own workers as lab rats. By next March, Gibbets plans to remove all computer screens from the company's offices. And instead, employees will use virtual screens that are seen and touched through Meta 2 headsets. Magic Leap, a startup based in Dania Beach, Florida, has created even bigger buzz given its ties to Google, whose CEO Sundar Pichai sits on the board. In addition, Chinese e-commerce powerhouse, we've talked about these guys before, Alibaba. They are like the Chinese Amazon for junk. Maybe it's more like an eBay. Alibaba's got everything. It's like an Amazon. Was among the investors in a $793.5 million round of fundraising completed in February. So you got to wonder, you got this VR goggle company who's got Google CEO sitting on the board. I think we read he said like $1.3 billion. Was that the amount? Yeah, $1.3 billion that Google invested in this company, this Magic Leap. And you got Alibaba also as an almost $8 million investor. Got to keep our eyes on those. Magic Leap. Magic Leap has also raised intrigue with their flashy videos, providing a brief glimpse of what it's working on. And on its clips, it shows a whale leaping out of a gymnasium floor, then splashing down before disappearing. In another scene, a pair of hands opens to show a miniaturized elephant leaping into the air. And the company said little else about what its plans are, other than its technology will make people feel like they are wizards staring at their own Harry Potter movie. We are giving people a paintbrush to paint all the world. Yes, Let's get everybody used to being able to manipulate everything that you can comprehend, because that's what this is going to become, the world of manipulation. We're going to start looking at some genetic manipulation that's going on, DIY kits in your kitchen. Start making bio-warfare breakfast cocktails. I mean, this all comes from that instant gratification problem we've talked about many times. These younger generations who come out of living at home and for some reason seem to believe that they need to be president or CEO right out of high school. No experience because they know better. And oh, by the way, you need to give me a paycheck too. I know I was really tired and I didn't get to do anything this week, but that doesn't matter because, I don't know, everybody always gave me money and bought me food and gave me clothing and shelter. I don't know how to work. You kidding me? No, I'm not picking up my laundry. I mean, that's what we've done. We've created this generation, and I think we've pretty much established this. A lot of these kids who don't know how to work hard anymore, who don't know how to survive, they've completely bred the survival instinct out of the human race. You know, soon to be procreation's going to be over as well. Sex bots to the rescue. And as they've done this, you know, if we go back to like ancient times, as man evolved and we learned to hunt and gather, we learned to react to danger, and our bodies evolved with different chemicals in the brain that get pushed when we see a big Tyrannosaurus Rex running. Even if it's in VR goggles, your heart starts pounding. When you see a cougar, a Tyrannosaurus Rex, I don't know why I just thought that. I was thinking of Jurassic Park. We were just talking about that the other day. Yes, they found. They did find. I cover archaeology a lot on my own personal page. Because remember, that's what I wanted to do. Be female Indiana Jones way back 20, 30 years ago. Thought I'd be traveling the world digging up old bones. But they did find a dinosaur egg just recently that actually had actionable DNA in it. And we were talking yesterday about how, what would happen if we had DNA that they could mix up in a petri dish. And they are talking about maybe reproducing some of them. So put on a seatbelt, people. This is going to be the world of Dr. Moreau very shortly here. All right, let's finish the story because I got about 10 more and it's already Friday. And the weekends are such long breaks. Not really, but at least for stories they are. Anyway, last couple paragraphs here. So now we're giving people a paintbrush to paint all the world, to be narcissists in the world of their own, to create the world in their own vision, to make them good little evil scientists who all want to be gods, because that's what we've done. We all want to be gods on our own little planet. And while they work on screwing up and enslaving the real planet that we live on, we'll give you your virtual 3D goggle world. And you can make all kinds of weird physics happen in there. Kipper believes tantalizing images and promises like the ones coming from Meta and Magic Leap make it more likely that people will be disappointed when they first experience augmented reality. But he predicts a major breakthrough. That's a few years away. And when you see an augmented reality demonstration, you say, hey, this is great. But when you actually get it, you realize that it is not quite what you saw in the video yet, is what I say. Everyone in the race for pushing augmented reality is in a dead heat, and they're taking millimeter steps forward. So, da-da-da. All right. So yesterday we titled the show something about Luddites Unite. I think I presented a pretty cut and dry case showing why we should not bite that dangling carrot and fall down the hole of temptation that they're offering us. We need to pay attention to what's going on here. There was a story It actually came out in January, and I posted it at the time, and we never ever got to it, and I ran across it again. So we're going to do that one today. Study suggests that the internet could really out-evolve humanity. It's not so science fiction after all. Living things accumulate and reproduce information, and that's what's really driving the principle behind life and behind evolution. But humans have invented a new method of accumulating and reproducing information, and that is digital information, and it's growing at an astonishing speed. The number of people using the internet is growing, and yes, now they're bringing all these third world countries on to the internet with mobile cellular 24/7 Google loon balloons for getting internet over Africa. I don't even know what they're doing over there now. And those now internet drones, they want to make sure that anyone who's not connected gets connected. I just saw yesterday now there's the big low-income subsidy for internet. So it's like $9-something a month. We'll send internet to your house because, you know, it's the digital divide, people. Dividing the haves and the have-nots. And if you don't have access to the internet, you're really at a disadvantage. Don't mind that we can't surveil you as well. But we'll make sure you get it. Here's your free money. $9.95, where everyone else pays $59.99 for their internet. You can get it really cheap there, Mr. Disadvantaged. And we'll make sure, just like the Obama phone, we'll give you the Obama internet. The number of people using the internet has grown as devices are connected to it through the Internet of Things, of which you and I will become one of those things. Digital information can copy itself perfectly, just like replication in the lab, too. So what's frightening about this? You know, they just announced that they found the programming language for cells. And with all this tinkering and the CRISPR-Cas9 that's going on, slicing and dicing biology and mixing it with synthetic, I'm beyond worried now. It's just a matter of time, people. This is a disaster of epic proportion. Like the survival of our species is at risk right now. We have lunatics running the show, doing stuff that they don't understand. Those Oxitec mosquitoes, they look like they're going to let them go in the Keys. FDA gave them like dumb bump into a wall approval. Oh, yeah. Don't see any problem. Nope, we cleared it. How the frick did you not see a problem? You know, you sprinkled them. We got garbage trucks outside. I got the doors open too, so you'll hear them. You sprinkled them in all these little third world nations and then ended up having all these big outbreaks everywhere. Oh, yeah, it's pesticide. Oh, yeah, it's this. Oh, yeah, it's that. I mean, probably, maybe, who knows? Yeah. Or maybe not. Or, I don't know, 10 generations from now, how do we know what these mosquitoes are going to do? How do we know how it's going to affect the bats and the opossums? Opossums eat like bazillions of mosquitoes. After all this is in their digestive system. This is stuff that should have 50 years of study before it's ever launched into the petri dish of the planet. Digital information can copy itself perfectly. Increases in copy number with every download or view can be modified or mutated and combined to generate novel information packets can be expressed through artificial intelligence. And these characteristics are similar to living things. So we should start probably thinking about digital technology as being like an organism that can evolve. And we already established that robots have already shown evolution as the mother robot starts building the baby robots and passing on her best traits and improving upon the traits that were not as efficient as they should have been or could have been. Digital information replicates with virtually no energy costs and has rapid generation times. And when I read that sentence, it made me think of Bill Gates at the TED conference talking about how we need to get our carbon quotient down to zero. Yeah, if we were all synthetic and digital, that would be way easier. We would get that carbon quotient down to zero. Silicon quotient would go up. But carbon quotient, Wouldn't have to worry too much about that. Artificial intelligence can beat us in chess and Go and on game shows. And what's more is that it's faster than us, smarter than us in some arenas, and is already in charge of activities that are too complex for us to do efficiently. To biologists, that sounds like the digital world may be able to outcompete us, as we argue in a paper published in Trends in Ecology Evolution. Winners and losers. During each evolutionary transition, there have been winners and losers. And we need to start asking if the digital transition poses a danger to humanity. We do have the advantage of hindsight to answer this question. We know that each of Earth's evolutionary transitions essentially resulted in the enslavement of the old information carriers. RNA was the original carrier of information, and when DNA came along, the role of RNA was relegated to simply relaying messages from DNA to the cell. When complex cells arose, they subsumed simpler bacterial cells, and these became the power generators, or the mitochondria, or the solar panels, which were the chloroplasts serving the needs of the new types of cells. Then the next transition resulted in organisms with multiple cells, and most of these cells did not pass on their information to the next generation, but existed simply to support the few cells that did. Basically, they're saying we're going to become slaves. The development of the nervous system that collected the information from the environment provided huge advantages for animals. And this activity reached its peak in human societies with the transmission of information between generations via language and culture. And this has allowed humans to dominate the planet such that we have triggered a new geological epoch called the Anthropocene. So the lessons of evolutionary history are clear. Transition in the way of information and how it is replicated and stored often makes existing organisms extinct, can lead to parasitism, or in the best case scenario, lead to a cooperative mutual relationship. Global leaders are warning already about the dangers of autonomous military robots taking over the world, reminiscent of horror films, science fiction horror films such as Terminator. And we are increasingly connected to digital world via devices, and direct connections to our brain are on the horizon. Ding, ding. And if we fuse our brains with the internet, like Kurzweil says, we may gain all kinds of new sensory and cognitive capabilities, but we may also lose a grasp of what is us and what is real, or expose ourselves to digital parasites. As our activities and the psychological states are increasingly being monitored, tracked, and analyzed, our every thought and action could be predicted. Ding, ding, ding. So what I've been saying all along, people, just like in 1984 or Minority Report, and biological information systems might then become a predictable cog in a digitally governed social system. Decision systems and artificial intelligence networks mimic human brains and coordinate our everyday interactions. Okay, Johnny, it's time to poop. They decide on what internet advertisements we're exposed to. They execute the majority of stock exchange transactions, and they run the electrical power grids. They also have a significant role in human mate choice via internet dating sites. Oh, I never even thought of that. While we do not necessarily feel that we are the mere flesh bots of our digital overlords, the merging of humans with the digital world has now passed the point of no return. In biological terms, fusions like these two unrelated organisms are called symbioses. And in nature, all symbioses have the potential to turn into a parasitic relationship, where one organism fares much better than the other. And we really need to start thinking about the internet as an organism that can evolve. But whether it cooperates or it competes with us should be a considerable cause for concern. There was another story I found yesterday titled "The New Luddites." Why former digital prophets are turning against technology. And that struck a pretty close chord for me, because that's what I, if you had to come up with one term as to what I was for the last probably 25 years of my life, it was a digital evangelist. That's what they called me, I think. I went out and spread how wonderful technology was to the world, and got lots of corporations to spend lots of money upgrading lots of things to be able to do lots of big 21st century promises that we made. How wonderful it was all going to be to bring it all together. And I guess I'm not the only one that is turning against what we thought was that white light of utopia, to realize that it's the dark, scary room of dystopia. Very few of us can be sure that our jobs will not in the future be done by machines. We've spent a whole week on this. We know about cars built by robots, cash points replacing bank tellers, ticket dispensers replacing train staff, self-service checkouts replacing supermarket staff, telephone operators replaced by call trees, and so on. But this is all small stuff compared to what might be happening next. We've read about these nursing may be done by robots, delivery men replaced by drones, general practitioners replaced by artificially intelligent diagnosers and health sensing skin patches, backroom grunt work in law offices done by clerical automatons, and remote teaching conducted by computers. And in fact, it is quite hard to think of a job that cannot be partially or fully automated, and technology is a classless wrecking ball. The old blue-collar jobs have been disappearing for years, and now they are being followed by the white-collar ones. Ah, you may say, but human beings will always be better. Well, this misses the point. It does not matter whether the new machines never achieve full human-like consciousness or even real intelligence. They can almost certainly achieve just enough to do your job. Maybe not as well as you, perhaps, but much more cheaply. There is hardly anything in the world that some robot cannot make a little worse and sell a little cheaper. And the people who consider price only are this robot's lawful prey. And I mean, we've already been stripped down to where we don't even value quality anymore. Planned obsolescence then became do more with less and suck all the jobs to Mexico and China, make cheap shitty goods, sell them at Walmart, and shut up and be happy because it's all you can afford. And that's the world that we're in right now. Craftsmanship doesn't mean much anymore. And if they can make it just a little bit cheaper, especially as TPP is rolling around here, everybody's inking on global trade agreements, and we can take corporations out and send them to the lowest bidder. I would say that robotic factories, just like Samsung, and who else do we just see? Toyota. There was another one, too. There's some big investments in factory production robots happening, like, en masse. And then, of course, Baxter, who could teach himself overnight. I don't think it was Baxter. It was a Japanese company. But the robot could literally teach itself overnight a process without any human intervention at all. You could have a whole room full of those robots learning their brand new jobs overnight. And tomorrow, you got a workforce that doesn't get sick, that doesn't need vacations, doesn't need a pension. Think how much money you're going to save. Inevitably, there will be social and political friction, and the onset has been signaled by skirmishes such as the London Underground strike over ticket office staff redundancies caused by machine-readable Oyster cards, and by the rage of licensed taxi drivers at the arrival of online unlicensed car booking services such as Uber, Lyft, and Sidecar. And this resentment is intensifying by rising social inequality. Everybody knows that neoliberalism did not deliver the promise of trickle-down effect. Rather, it delivered trickle-up, because ever since the recession began, almost all the fruits of growth have gone to the rich, and the working and the middle-class incomes have flatlined or fallen. And now it seems that the wealthy cyber elites, and yes, these are the same people that are sprinkling all this money into longevity projects as well, live forever. The wealthy cyber elites are creating machines to put the rest of us out of work entirely. The effect of this is to undermine the central argument of those who hype the benefits of job replacements by machines, and they say that new and better jobs will be created. Of course they will. And don't worry about it, because we have universal basic income and we'll just give you all free money. You don't need a job. They say that this was always true in the past and it'll be true now. You know, we just don't know what the new jobs will be yet. That's what they keep saying. But people now doubt the, quote, new and better jobs line being trotted out by the prophets of robotization. The new jobs, if there are any at all, will probably be surf-like attenders to the needs of machine burger-flipping robots. And nevertheless, this future, too, is being sold in neoliberalism terms. I am sure, wrote Mitch Free in a commentary for Forbes, that it is really hard to see when your paycheck is being directly impacted. But the reality to any market disruption is that the market wants the new technology or business model more than they want what you offer. Otherwise, it would never get off the ground. The market always wins, and you cannot stop it, he says. Free was writing in response to what probably seemed to him a completely absurd development, a nightmarish impossibility, the return of Ludditism. The Luddite has, in the past few decades, been such a routine term of abuse for anybody questioning the march of machines that most people assume that, like fool, idiot, or prat, it can only ever be abusive. But in truth, Luddism has always been proudly embraced by a few, and thanks to the present climate of machine mania and stagnating incomes, it is beginning to make a new kind of sense. You think so? From the angry Parisian taxi driver who vandalized a car belonging to an Uber driver to a Luddite sympathetic column by a Nobel laureate, Paul Krugman, in the New York Times, Luddism in practice and in theory is back on the streets. I don't think we're going to read the history of the Luddite, though it's pretty interesting. But the possibility is still with us in Silicon Valley's earnest faith in the singularity, and that is Kurzweil's movement, the moment, possibly to come in 2045, and that's when they're calling it. When we build our last machine, a super intelligent computer that will solve all of our problems and enslave or kill us or save us, such things are true only to the extent to which they are believed. And in Silicon Valley, it is believed widely. It's all very exciting. But then another academic rained on their parade. His name was who? Oh, Ted Kaczynski. Yes, we covered Ted Kaczynski. And Bill Joy's Why the Future Doesn't Need Us. There was an essay in Wired magazine back in, it was really early on, like 1990. Ted Kaczynski, although he is more widely known as the Unabomber, in name of his own brand of neo-Luddism, Kaczynski bombs killed 3 people and injured many more in a campaign that ran from 1978 to 1995. And in his 1995 manifesto, Industrial Society and Its Future, it said, quote, that the Industrial Revolution and the consequences have been a disaster for the human race. and called for a global revolution against the conformity imposed by technology. And, you know, I never, like we talked about this before, I never really knew a lot about the Unabomber, but after we started reading his manifesto, this dude was right on. He called it back in 95. And I mean, that was really when I just first really got into technology, like as in the beginnings of e-commerce. That was when it was really starting to happen. We were starting to get real websites online and everybody started to communicate using cool little electronic tools. 95 was the year it really kind of started to roll out. All right. Well, you know what, guys? I can't even believe how fast it went. I only have about a minute left, and I think we're going to end with something to knock it out of the park. Let's look at the biohackers, what technology is going to do for us. CRISPR, inside the garage labs of the DIY gene hackers, whose hobbies may terrify you. When the future of genetic engineering arrived at Sebastian Kibocha's doorstep, it was affixed to the back of a postcard from Austria with a little bit of packing tape. Kokoboka is a 25-year-old college student dropout whose primary interest is tinkering with plant genetics in a lab that he cobbled together from eBay. And we talked about that before. You could typically buy everything you need to make your own little genetics lab in the garage right off of eBay. The lab is located in a spare bedroom of his parents' lavish apartment in Long Island City across the river from Manhattan. And a few months ago, an internet friend from an online biohacking forum had sent him the lab's latest edition. Attached to a postcard under a piece of shipping tape was the CRISPR-Cas9 bacteria. Deposited on a flimsy fragment of filter paper and wrapped in plastic, it looked like a tab of acid. Oh! But inside that crude packaging was a key to an incredibly precise DNA editing technology that will revolutionize or destroy the world. All right, guys, make sure you stick around. It is Friday. Ms. Lonnie Clark is live up next. Josh will be live at 6 p.m. Eastern. The boys from Primer Time. Replay at 8, 9, shoot down the tracks, 10, cutting through the matrix, 11, live with Levon tonight. Have an awesome weekend.